Welcome back to Inner Thoughts with M. Meek is a lovely and phenomenal woman, and I'm so excited to have her here. I hope we're well, and I hope we're keeping sane. And I'll just let her introduce herself. So.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Melissa.
I don't want to say your name yet because I want you to be able to say it.
You want me to introduce myself?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello, beautiful listeners. My name is Ingrid Naiga. A lot of people call me Nai, my close friends. But I'm just Ingrid Naiga. I am a student of the world. I study medicine in university. Right. I am a poet, would I call it that? I write right about anything. I have a blog known as Chai with Nai. I am a mental wellness advocate. I am a daughter, I am a sister, I am a friend. Yeah, I am many things. Yes, and I'm also Melissa's lovely friend of how many years? Nine?
Yeah, like nine. Is it nine?
Eight?
I think 9 years. Yeah,
it's a couple. Yeah.
And she's, guys, I can't even describe Ingrid. She's, I feel like every time we have a conversation, it's really good vibes. It's really educative. Like we
very
learn
honest.
From each other.
Yeah. Very honest. I think we've been bouncing off energy since the start of our relationship. And
yes.
It's just been a whirlwind of lessons. I feel like our hearts talk to each other as much as our minds do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very personal. I feel like our connection is very, very personal. And I don't know. It for me, it transcends a lot of things. Just like, wow. Like, we could go from very serious to very goofy and just very honest.
In split seconds. So don't be surprised if we really switch up in this episode. Okay, so this episode's basically, it's a deep one. It's likely to be a deep one. It might contain triggering material or sensitive material for some, because Ingrid and I are going to be as honest as we can be about this, because this is something we both care about. And the topic for today is healing and forgiveness of self. So, drum roll. Anyway, Ingrid, what is healing for you?
Well, healing for me is an intentional journey with self, to just really go back to very to past points in life and identify triggers.
Yeah.
Identify things that provoke certain kind of feeling, and just really a deep cleaning of self. Like, I think about it in many ways. As a medical student, I always equate it to like actual physical wounds, like when you fall down, and that entire process of like how it waters up, how it starts to like scab, up until the formation of, like, you know, the scar, the physical scar that you now see. I think of healing, and I would, we're, this conversation is pertaining to a lot of emotional healing, like internal work.
Yeah,
I feel like it's this messy, very unpredictable, non-linear experience of revisiting trauma points. You and I were on the phone a couple days ago, and you were saying to me it's like peeling back layers.
Yeah.
Of like this thing that you have no idea. It's very, I think it's such a wide space, because you don't even know
how much you have to peel back.
Mm-hmm.
I hate healing.
I like the results
of healing. Mm-hmm. I like how mm-hmm. I am once I'm mm-hmm. healed, but I hate yeah. the process. Like you've said, it's so messy, it's so lengthy. For yeah. me, it takes so much that sometimes I'm not willing mm-hmm. to even give. I feel that sometimes when I discover a new layer to, you know, to so many of the things that have probably damaged me or caused me to act in certain ways that I do not mm-hmm. deem pleasant or worthy of myself, you know, mm-hmm. I literally don't even have the time. Sometimes I will say not today. I will literally be in denial because I've experienced the process and I know how messy it can get.
I'm just thinking like what would be your general umbrella definition of healing on your end? Or did
I feel like for me mm-hmm. healing is being able to let go to mm-hmm. I don't want to call it functioning properly mm-hmm. because I don't think there's such a thing as proper functioning yeah. that's universal for
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But kind of I feel like it's getting back to a space where you're kind of in control of your actions mm-hmm. and you don't have mm-hmm. like secondary mm-hmm. kind of like experiences or mm-hmm. or heart or God like walls and things of that sort that are controlling the way you act, like say because of this and this and this you're judging a particular situation or you're reacting in some type of way. I feel mm-hmm. for me healing entirely is being able to kind of see white, if I'm speaking like metaphorically, to not have a dented picture of a situation mm-hmm. or because I feel like maybe to best describe it, it's best if I talk about how I am when I'm hurt. So in this case, like emotional hurt, my expectations lower, my guard goes up, I'm in pain, I'm not happy. I'm a very mm-hmm. trusting person naturally, and I know most people are always talking about, you know, don't trust people, but I'm a trusting person. I might not do it easily, but I try to mm-hmm. believe the best in people. But the situations yeah. that cause me to have to heal, they take that away from me.
Yeah. Know?
They make me cautious. So mm-hmm. I feel like for me, healing is being able to let go and truly be myself without fear. Yeah.
You said something that stuck with me, intention and something between the actions and just becoming very conscious or
yeah.
what I say mentally becoming very aware of the of your actions and your picking up on your own patterns, I guess and how maybe you treat people or how come certain situations have a similar trend and just, you know, picking apart the situation for what it is. Do you ever feel like sometimes you have to heal from things you didn't even know were causing you hurt? Because I feel like that. I think for me, that's, for the most part, a lot of my healing in my life has taken place on that level. Like, I didn't even know I was hurting from certain things. And then it wasn't until I would start to see it in my life, like, oh, so what, why is this happening? And then trying to trace back the root, you know, of like, where did this begin? Where did this stem from?
Yeah.
How come this certain thing provokes this feeling? And why? And what's my emotional and intellectual response? Is my character getting butchered? You know, what is this thing? It's such a gray area, you know. I don't know if gray area is the explanation for it. It's, I think of it like, you know, like when we're primary school, mm-hmm. or like pre-primary school, and then you'd like scribble on a paper like really hard, like scribble in circles, and your teacher would just get mad, like, no, this is Volongoto.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like healing is. Like, it's so confusing, it's so wrapped up in so many things.
I feel for me, sometimes, just like you said, I don't even know what I need to heal from. Not even sometimes, many times. And it's particular situations that I'm put in. And sometimes my reaction to those situations or my thoughts at the time or even how I'm feeling about myself gets me to question. Just like you said, you know, why? Why am I acting? You know, something could be kind, like literally the smallest thing. And my reaction to it could be honestly unreasonable by any reasonable person's standards. And when I sit back, I realize that there's connections to probably something that was said to me. Sometimes, Ingrid, I've found myself, I've discovered that I've been hurt by things that happened when I was like 9. And before, these things were memories to me, you know, maybe a cousin saying something. For some reason, maybe I haven't even remembered everything that happened to me when I was a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But this one event is so stuck in my mind, so vivid. And before I, like, before basically acknowledging that actually this is something that hurt me, this is something that to this day makes me insecure, makes me question myself.
Yeah.
I've, you know, shoved it off like, oh yeah, my cousin said something mean, or I probably didn't like when this person called me this, or when this person betrayed my trust, it hurt me. You know, I've constantly shoved things off, not knowing that these very things, like now that I'm more aware of what's going on in my mind and my heart generally, I've acknowledged that these things have been triggers to my heart. Like, I don't mean heart, like my heart.
I get you.
H-U-R-T.
Yes.
So for me,
you said something about reason, and I was like bouncing off in my head. Is there a place for reason in the face of deep emotion? Like, I feel like there's a point at which reason flies out the window just because emotions are messy, man. Like, you never...
They are.
It's never something that's like, this is black and white. Like, I strongly believe certain things can get very out of even, like, your country... Well?
Is it scope? Understanding,
like certain things will provoke a response that you did not
ever expect.
Yeah, because just because of the deeply laced emotion. So, for example, I recently came out of a very bad depression, which was just a snowball of like a lot of things. And I had gone through an intentional process of almost re-traumatizing myself and just trying to figure out why I was just very sad a lot of the time, and why I was feeling very inadequate in self, and just really trying to understand myself.
Yeah.
And it would just so happen that this obviously happened over the period of COVID, and I'm stuck where I stay, and I wasn't around other people. I was by myself in my house, and yeah, so I feel like I went through a spring cleaning of my life, and at the point of, I guess, breakdown for me, my biggest emotion to confront was anger. I had a lot of pent-up anger and frustration that stemmed from a lot of places that I hadn't even recognized or ever realized would affect me so deeply. And I kept listening to my favorite poet, Raina Biddy, and I would listen to her every day. And there's this line in one of her poems where she says, "We need healing from what's hurting," something like that. And it always just like, it would sit with, like, I would wake up, I'm listening. I was in such a dark place, and at the height of my frustrations, when I now, like I said, confronted everything that really, well, not everything, because I don't think you ever even know that it's everything.
Yeah.
That's not, I think healing is something that happens all the time, and it's constantly happening, whether you're making a conscious or subconscious or unconscious effort to compartmentalize. You know, I feel like our minds are constantly processing, oh yeah, this upset me, this, you know, human beings are very, we're the highest primates in terms of our intellectual development. Mm-hmm. We're very, very cognizant of a lot of things, and so I can put into words, oh, this made me feel like this. But I think emotions are so convoluted in a way that even sometimes you might be very verbally adept, you know, you could have all this language that could back up your emotion, and you just cannot describe it. And that was my experience. You know, I found myself being deeply frustrated by many things that transpired in my life, and like you were talking about earlier, like recognizing things from childhood, like from earlier points in my life, I started to realize, wow, like this thing that happened when I was 11, like upset me like this, and also going through like a period of, I don't remember much of my life. I don't know if a lot of people experience that when they are trying to do that spring cleaning, you know, like going back to those dark places, like, how come I don't remember much of this? Or how come, like, this is so, like, far from my mind? I feel like trauma does that. Like, I think you can experience so much pain that your mind
finds a way to kind of shut that memory out.
Oh, yeah. Like, blankets, like, it's too traumatic that it just, your mind is like, I'm, let me protect you. Let
I think
me
protect it's, you from I think it's memory. Like a coping mechanism that our minds kind of put in place, especially when we're like much younger, and sometimes we just can't deal, we just can't deal or process the situation.
Yeah.
But
no, absolutely. No, sorry, you were saying?
I just feel like these things, it's like a mental timer though for me, because all these things that were shut out have still, I've had feelings about them in the future, and although I couldn't exactly place those feelings because I didn't have vivid, you know, memories of what exactly transpired that is causing me to feel this way and feel very apprehensive about even the thought, I've had to find myself later in life unpacking that situation because it's haunted me, if that makes sense. So I feel like our minds shut it down for a period of time to protect us.
Yeah.
But it's just as all things that are covered, it's still existent. Just because it's covered doesn't mean that it's gone away.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like our mind can shut it off until the point where we are cornered, like now you just have to deal with it.
There's no option.
I don't know how have you felt in this period with, you know, in the face of the Black Lives Matter movement just not resurfacing, well, it exists, it's our lives, every day we exist in Black bodies. But with the recent events that just have sparked so much uproar, like, I don't know if that was triggering for you, because I, in my own life, I experienced deep pain seeing all these events transpiring over Twitter, and like just the uneasiness that came with COVID and the uncertainty of like travel and being so far from family and stuff like that. Like, just, yeah, like, you really just, like, you think you're done with something, and it's like, you can't run away from your life. Like, this is your whole life. Like,
this is you, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel for me, so basically this whole period, and I'm even going to say it's been hard for me. I'm not going to say that, because I don't feel like hard is the term to describe how I've been feeling. So anyway, background information. Summer last year was the hardest time in my life. I went through a lot of isolation. I went through a lot of identification of some of the things that were eating me up. And I started a process of healing. And from some of the things, I think I even healed. But some of them crept into, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
And so this, the whole, you know, resurfacing of, like, more emphasis on the movement and just being away from home. And I shut everything out.
Yeah.
I deleted my Twitter. I put away all the noise, not because I didn't want to be a part of it or make a contribution towards it, but because I couldn't. I had to protect my own mind.
Yeah.
Because at that time, and Ingrid and I coincidentally happened to be e-pals, which is like pen pals, but we're just
geeks
and we're college. And so, like,
the emails.
From like that email that I sent you, when I was just describing kind of how I felt about that particular situation, it had been eating me up for the greater part of the pandemic, honestly, and it's something that even now I'm learning to come to, not terms with it, but
to exist with your pain.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're talking about last year summer, and I'm thinking back to even that time for you, and just even earlier in the year, and like how we'd been speaking to each other through and through, and it's making me laugh in my mind, because it's like, sometimes you're going through so much without even realizing. Like, I feel like we've been through dark spots together in our lives, even through like high school, without even realizing, okay, I'm in pain about this, or this is really upsetting me right now, and I feel this way about this. And I feel like growing up where we grew up, there's just not a lot of space, a lot of comfortable space anyway, for the most part, to talk about certain things and to hit certain emotions in the face. It's like, just toughen up, like, you know,
I feel like
get over it. But the conversation around emotional wellness is very distant, and I feel like I got my first real break from that at about 16. But and that was when I left home, and it's like, we have constantly gone through phases of packing and unpacking and stacking and restacking and boxing and unboxing. And all those times, our mind was in its own unique way doing its healing without us necessarily maybe even having the vocabulary.
Yeah.
But for example, you and I were such writers, and like, we'll keep a journal or, you know, like, indulge in like work. And that takes me to like, to the thought of self-care, and how certain times we think we're like focusing on our healing, and we think we're really getting into it because we're doing all these things that seem to be pertaining to healing, and we feel like, okay, I'm revisiting this trauma, and why did, you know, like, I'm sitting in this spot, and it, again, like you mentioned, summer 2019 equally for me was such a trying time. And it's like, when you now have a chance to sit down, like, now you have nothing to run from, which I feel like COVID did for a lot of people. It's like, no school, no work, like, everything's uncertain. So it's,
I feel like it was in your face. You had to,
yeah.
or you had
yeah.
to. you had no you option.
Had to, or you had to, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, I feel like it just, there's a way that when there's so much you've been running away from, by the time it like corners you, you either make it like back off, like you actually slap it in the face and, you know, go for it head on, or you continue to run, you continue to find escape, you know, routes. And I feel like at some point those run out, you know, because for how long do you run away from yourself? Essentially, in my mind anyway, when it comes to like that internal work and avoiding it and dodging it, I think it's running away from self. What are you so afraid of? Why don't you want to sit in this place and relish? It's not even relish, because, you know, relish has positive connotations. But why don't you want to go back there? And I feel like that's the funny thing about trauma. Like, you just, you touch this, you see this one thing, and like, it will send you down a spiral, you know?
And I think that the worst bit is, especially when we keep just boxing everything, the thing that will tip you off or break you, it will surprise you.
Oh yeah. Wow, you hit the spot with that one.
Because
I relate with that so deeply. I feel like the different layers, like as we were talking about earlier, that we have to peel back, they constantly surprise. Like, you don't even know what you're mad about, you know?
Yeah.
Or like sad about. Like, it's just, it's like, you know? Really confusing.
Have you found yourself hurting others because you're hurt and you haven't healed?
Oh yeah. Collateral? Oh yeah. I have this thing that I say about how we're all gonna be collateral in someone's mess somehow as human beings, because I think that's how we relate, you know?
Yeah.
And in a very unintentional way, sometimes you can get caught in someone else's crossfire.
I'm constantly praying. Like, one of my prayers, honestly, which is going to it's a very selfish prayer, but I keep telling God, I'm tired of being a vessel through which your people pass. I'm tired of being the means through which one recognizes that they can do better. Please bring, I want some of the finished product as well, you know.
Oh wow. Have you ever thought that someone else is praying that same prayer with you in mind?
Exactly. No, and I feel, you see, that's the thing. Sometimes, because one of the things that also really happened to me this pandemic, not really happened, but one of the realizations I came to was, one of the things that really hurt me, especially in high school, was rejection. And I don't even mean it in a romantic way, but just rejection from my peers, rejection from people around me, even rejection of ideas that were different from what society was used to, you know?
Yeah, Mel has a big twisted brain, yeah? Let me tell you, everybody will be saying left, and Mel is like, no, we're going vertical. Like,
I feel like I'm just provocative.
She's not even the opposite. Like, no. Everyone will be like, we're going at, like, we'll be like, okay, we're going to Kansanga. Melissa's like, no, we're going to Arua. Like, that's how off tangent this girl's brain can be.
And you know,
I feel like that's unique, Mel. Like,
no, but I feel that some of the things that I had to heal from was kind of like rejection, failure, and me thinking that it was a small thing, or me starting to look at myself and say, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not worthy, you know. Maybe if I keep quiet, maybe if I don't try, then I won't be hurt. You know, it's yeah. taken me healing from that to come to a place where I'm okay with it. In fact, I long for rejection.
When you said rejection, I was thinking about my relationship with failure, because I feel like those are some of the hardest confrontations of rejection in my life, aside from relationship wise. Just whenever for me the places where I always felt deserving of a seat at the table and got rejected, those were my worst rejections. So academically speaking, or socially speaking, I guess. And it's every rejection is worse than the last, but you know, I don't think you ever get used to it. But I think I had such a horrible relationship with rejection in my life because of my obsession with perfectionism, and just from that stems from a young age, like just being a firstborn, you know, daughter, you need to do things a certain way, and you can't color outside the lines, and you need to have this in order like this. And then getting to a point in my life where things weren't going always my way all the time, and understanding that that has nothing to do with me, that's just how life is sometimes, and you're not always going to be on top, and sometimes you have to trade places, that the person who comes in last come in first, you know. I think life can be very fair, but also very unfair. And the state, I think the only constant thing is you. And what's your relationship with yourself in times like that? Like in the face of rejection, am I kicking myself to the curb? Like, am I pushing myself further down? Or like, can we get over it? Like, you know, I was telling my friend not too long ago, a mutual friend of ours actually, and I was saying to her, rejections are just redirections, you know, like it's rerouting. Like it's maybe that wasn't for you, so focus on the prize, like, you know.
And I've had to learn that, honestly, just because it's unfair doesn't mean it's untrue. Honestly, sometimes I feel like we're so full of ourselves. Yeah. I think I realize that although I have to process my emotions, I have to acknowledge them, I have to validate them for myself, because other people won't do that for you. I realize that I'm the only person in control of my actions. I cannot control your reaction or your actions towards myself, but I can only control how I react. And one of the things that has helped me to not even have to not go into a space where I have to heal, but what has helped me reduce my my triggers, the things that hurt me, is taking away the power from certain people's actions or words towards me, basically.
Practicing non-attachment.
It's like objectivity, basically. I've learned to rather, I'm actually still learning, because I think that as a person, I'm very emotional,
That statement makes me laugh, because I think every human being is emotional. I feel like it's a term that's been weaponized or like used to reduce, to almost ostracize people that I guess are a bit more in touch with theirs, or choose to acknowledge. But I think everybody's emotional. I think everybody has as long as you're human and you feel, I think you have the capacity to be deeply annoyed about a situation or very overjoyed about a situation. You know, I think people take emotion sensitive, like, what do I call it, sensitivity? People take reactions to certain things and are offended by, for example, tears. And will label that you're emotional. you're sensitive, you're this. And it's like, that's very untrue, because even you who's putting on poker face, that's an emotion, that's a mask, that's you being emotional in your own way.
I feel like because of generally how the world is set and how people might not always be nice, and some people will take advantage of your
vulnerability.
People have been forced to mask their feelings.
Absolutely.
And as time has evolved, we have termed that ability to mask how you feel as being strong, which in which in my opinion, I've learned that strength does not mean concealment. Strength does some of the I feel like as a person I'm quite vocal. If you hurt me, I will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
It might take me time to, but I will let you know.
Yeah.
And I feel for me that's what's helped me with my relationships, because
you know,
I've been, but you know what, Ingrid? Mm-hmm. Throwback to the time when we were in nursery school or even primary school,
mm-hmm.
or even going through like heartbreaks or rejections or things of that sort, and mm-hmm. we cry and mm-hmm. somebody says, why are you crying? What was that?
Oh, girl, you just took me back to like from one room meeting. Like,
we had this thing,
Ingrid, you have such a crying problem.
What?
I can't even remember who said that, but like things like that, like, shape how you feel about your emotional responses and start to feel almost
it's
embarrassed,
like,
and just
it's,
like
it invalidates how you feel.
Yeah, invalidate, like, take that over there, don't come here with your little tears, like other people. And I think that's just revisit, like, trauma resounding, like, nobody made time for my tears, so why should I give your tears audience?
And I feel like I've learned that, and this is something I've actually learned from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for many of the things he's told me, how sometimes I do keep quiet, he will mm-hmm. notice that I'm hurting and I keep quiet, and he's the exact opposite. He's the type, mm-hmm. if he's angry, he'll just let it out.
Mm-hmm.
He will express his anger, and then for him, that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. His emotions mm-hmm. are, because he's let it out. And because mm-hmm. I'm going to say brainwashed to think that mm-hmm. concealment is strength, and non-expression makes me somewhat better, and crying mm-hmm. is weak. Mm-hmm. I kill myself inside.
I was about to say, I feel like I have a lot of people, and I feel like those people are labeled emotionally unavailable, which, like, I think is very dismissive.
Mm.
I think people give you what they want to give you, like small doses, big doses, and sometimes people just curl up into themselves, or you know, are consumed, explosive, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to like sit down and take notice of how people react in certain situations. I've been very intentional with my inner child healing and going back to, you know, pain points from my earlier life, and noticing that, like, I react like this because of this, like, this stems from here, which is always surprising, like, how a pattern, how did this become my, you know, behavior? So when you say things like you go silent, is that something that, like, you recognize from how you dealt with your emotions growing up?
I feel like I've been kind of in the household that I've grown up in, I've been nurtured to be very vocal about particular things, but I've had sometimes mm-hmm. I found myself having to be silent because I've invalidated my own emotions. And sometimes, and this is so honestly, sometimes I don't deem others worthy of my emotions. I don't think that they're deserving of my space. I don't think they are worth my particular energy at that point. And so, unfortunately, over the years, I've learned to just go mute in those situations. But I don't know, because it's not who I am as a person. It's very suppressing.
Like,
it's not. Yeah. It's not an empowering feeling, and
I recognize that in certain aspects of my life. So I'm very vocal about hurt as well. Like, if somebody annoys me or makes me feel some type of way, like, you're gonna know. It might not be immediate, but I'm probably gonna have, well, now that I'm a bit older, I have time to go think about it, repackage it, and then if somebody can meet me where I'm trying to be met, and we can sit down and have a sensible exchange, then that can go down. But I've found that, like, because of being such a vocal person, and then recognizing parts of my life that I had to be silent in or silent about, it fractured a lot of my emotional responses. Because for me, my innate instinct is to talk about it, be vocal, like, make noise, like, you upset me.
Yeah.
But certain things are so painful that sometimes it's like, I'm just gonna shove this to the back of my head, and, like, I'm gonna act like that didn't happen. Or I'm gonna distract myself so much until this thing becomes so irrelevant. Or, like, even how you were talking about, like, sometimes you feel like people are undeserving, so you deprive them of your emotional response to certain things. I recognize that in my own life as for certain relationships. Like, and that's taken time. Because I feel like, because of being so vocal and being in certain relationships very early, some people don't actually appreciate a vocal person like that. Like, I don't understand why you want to talk about these feelings. Like, can't you just move on?
I understand those people,
you know?
Because I've had to learn.
I just think it's uncomfortable.
It's an uncomfortable situation.
You're making me so uncomfortable right now, so let's just keep running away. And I can't get behind that. I really can't get behind that. Anyone who's my friend knows I value that point of discomfort.
I think it's because, in a relationship, firstly,
in terms of confronting, like, issues,
we deal with things differently. That's something I've had to learn. Mm-hmm. We deal with things differently, and we process and heal differently as well, Ingrid. And it can be such a clash when your coping mechanism, your dealing mechanism, is hands-on and another person's is not. That can be a clash, especially when it comes to just friendships generally. But I've learned that also, because we have come to this space where we recognize that sometimes, not even sometimes, being vocal is honestly the most empowering and freeing thing
but also in that liberation, realizing that not every conversation has to be had,
I've learned that it's part of kind of like journeys and how our journeys are different, and some people are not yet to that in that part of their journey where they need to be, or they recognize how pertinent it is to be vocal about their feelings and how how things affect them. And I think for me, it goes back to when healing, it's essential to have a support system, because sometimes you might not be able to have this conversation with some people, but always have a group of people around you with whom you can have this conversation with. And it doesn't have to be your friends, it could be like a therapist, but for me especially, it's very freeing when I tell particular groups of my friends about some of the things that I'm going through.
First of all, how do you navigate situations where you can clearly recognize your intuition, your emotional, your immediate emotional response is very different from another person? It's very polarized. made a note for careful consideration in the face of that. And then number two, what was number two, Ingrid? Okay, I will come back to that when I remember.
And that's it for this episode. Join us in part two.